But we have two shiurim left that I know of, that I know for sure of, hopefully, and that is today, right now, and tomorrow. Tomorrow's shiur is going to be like start at 9 o'clock, meaning right after breakfast, because I have to get back home. So there's not going to be seder before shiur. We'll have to rearrange the schedule somehow. So today I want to do Nesina L'Chadchila, tomorrow Hatmada, and then we've covered all of the major topics of Bishul Daraisa and Bishul Drabanan. We could obviously, there's more to do obviously, but then at least we could be satisfied that we've covered the major topics of Bishul. So Nesina L'Chadchila is the topic that we started to discuss at the very, very end yesterday. The problem is there's no real sugya of Nesina L'Chadchila. The Gemara assumes that it's just usur, that you're not allowed to take food and put it on a fire on Shabbos. How could you take food and put it on a heat source on Shabbos? All the Gemara talks about is hachazara, about returning food that was there beforehand, but it doesn't really talk about Nesina L'Chadchila. It's obviously not going to fulfill the Gemara's conditions of achzara, of odu biyado and daitu lahachzir, because it's in the fridge, and you take it out of the fridge on Shabbos morning. So the default position of Nesina L'Chadchila is that it's aser. But, Klal Yisrael are adukim ba'onek Shabbos. The Rosh tells us we love the mitzvah of onek Shabbos, and therefore we need to have warm food. And the Baal Amar tells us that if you don't have warm food on Shabbos, you're probably a Karaite. So we need to make sure, so not everyone loves Shalit, and has Shalit just sitting there from before Shabbos, slowly, slowly being mitzdamik v'yafalo over the course of Shabbos. So what do? How do we heat up food on Shabbos? So we started with a little bit of theory yesterday, and that is Rav Willig in Simon Beis asks the question that according to Rabbeinu Tam and Tosos, that Chazara is Asr because of Shamei Chata. Remember, Shehiya is Asr, why? Why was Shehiya Asr? Shamei Chata, right? Chazara is a machlokas. Is it Shamei Chata or is it Natsikim Vashel? By the way, Rav Shechter is very staunchly in the Shamei Chata camp. He says that it's not Mexican Vashel at all. I know the Mishmur says it, but I have a Kabbalah from Salvechik that it's all about Shemi Chata, and that's why even when that's why there are when you're not dealing directly with the fire, it's going to be mutter. We'll see soon. So Chazara is Asr because of Shemi Chata. If you assume like that Shita, why would Hanacha L'Chadchila be Asr on an Eish that's Grufu Ketuma? Meaning, why can't you do Hanacha L'Chadchila when there's a blech that should take care of the Shamei Chata problem? So we suggested two answers, and Rabbi Willig connects each of these answers with a group of Rishonim. Perhaps they hold answer number one, that Nesina L'Chadchila is Mechzikim Vashel, meaning even though Chazara is all about Shamei Chata, but maybe Nesina L'Chadchila, that's Mechzikim Vashel, which is somewhat mistaken. Meaning, if you have something that was cooked there before and you take it off and keep it in your hand the whole time, put it back, that doesn't look like you're cooking. But if you take something out of the fridge and you're putting it on a fire, that looks a lot more like cooking. So maybe that's an issue of Mexican Mavashel, which is a whole new issue. To put food on a blech, that's Mexican Mavashel. Or the other possibility is that we suggested that maybe the chashash of Shamei Chata is what drives Chazara and is also what drives Nesina L'Chadchila. But the chashash becomes a much bigger chashash when you do Nesina L'Chadchila. Because Nesina L'Chadchila, by definition, is with cold food. So, of course, you're going to want to make sure the fire is strong. And therefore, the chashash of Shamei Chata that you have by Chazara is this big of a chashash. I'm not being precise, I don't know how big, but it's this big of a chashash. The chashash that you have by Nesina L'Chadchila is this big of a chashash. To take care of a chashash that's this big, you can just do garlic for cotton. That will solve that concern. But when the chashash is this big, then you can't just do garlic for cotton. Oh, this is torture for the people listening online, right? They have no idea how big. drawn to scale. It's a smaller gap between my hands when I describe Chazara, a larger gap between my hands when I describe Nesina L'Chadchila. So what are the heterim? So now, again, Rabbi Willig thinks this is machlokes rishonim. Let's just keep that in the back of our mind. So what are the heterim? How can we do Nesina L'Chadchila? So let's suggest all of the potential heterim. The first heter we'll talk about is what became known at some point as the Boston heter. Not in halachic literature, but just, in the Welt. Why would something ever be called the Boston heter?
Absolutely.
because Rav Soloveitchik, right? Rav Soloveitchik in Boston in the 1950s, you have to realize Boston in the 1950s was not what Boston is now. And Rav Soloveitchik was dealing with a very different kind of community and a lot of people who were just cooking on Shabbos. And, you know, it was a very big deal to try to get them to observe Hilchos Shabbos on some basic level. So it was not the frumos community at the time. And Rav Soloveitchik was trying to incorporate a greater level of observance of Shabbos. So what he did is he relied on the Shitas HaRan. Remember we learned the Ran yesterday that the Ramah quotes the Ran. Right? So Soloveitchik relied on the Shitas HaRan and told people, if you want to have warm food on Shabbos morning, all you got to do is what? Leave it on, make sure it's on the blech when Shabbos starts. Then you can take it off, put it in the fridge for the rest of the night, take it out of the fridge Shabbos morning when you're ready to warm it up, and put it back on the blech on Shabbos morning. And that way, the Rama quotes it, it's Shitas HaRan, and that way people would not require all the conditions of a Chazara. All the, obviously, Mavushal called Tzorach you need, right? Because as we said, that's not really a condition of Hachzara. That just means you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, right? So Mavushal called Tzorach you need. Garufakatum you need, right? That obviously you need. But you don't need Od B'yado, you don't need Daitel HaChzer, and you don't need Adayin Cham, you don't need it to be had anymore. And that's what he would say. The Ramah tells us not to rely on the Ran, right? And that's why the Mishnah Berurah and Negros Moshe do not rely on the Ran. But it's very important to know that Ran. Because there are people who do rely on it. Or, I think it's become less and less popular, but there are people who do rely on it. And when people do rely on it, the halach is, if you're eating at someone's house and you see that they're doing something wrong in Hilchos Shabbos, something that you don't accept as a legitimate kula, so are you allowed to eat the food in their house? I was once at someone's house and I saw that they were, on Shabbos day, they were taking food out of the oven, right? We do not hold that you're allowed to warm up food in a regular oven on Shabbos with the oven on, right? When the oven is on, that's mechzi kemevasha, right? You would think that that's at least mechzi kemevasha or chashash anichata. So are you allowed to eat there? So the Magen Avraham writes that if any legitimate shita holds that it's mutter, even if you don't, then you're allowed to eat the food. So this ran is very important because if someone does rely on that ran, right? Then you're allowed to eat there. It's also very important if you have someone who's first becoming frum, and very often in the context of a family that's not particularly observant, and the family is mocking and making fun of everything the person is doing, and we can't have a decent Shabbos anymore because of your stupid chumras that you came back from yeshiva with, or whatever. So sometimes you have to be able to guide people by Sharu Sham where they are, which is exactly what Rav Soloveitchik did in the Boston community. You know, Soloveitchik was aware that the Ramah says not to rely on him, but he was also aware of who he was dealing with. So while it is a heter in certain circumstances, the Boston heter is not something that we would want to use and incorporate, you know, when we're actually calling the shots and making our own, running our own households, kedasu kedin. I would bet that in none of your homes do they employ the Boston heter. So what heter do you use when you warm things up on Shabbos? So there's a second heter. Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Ches. Ooh, all the way in Shin Yud Ches. Remember Shin Yud Ches? Siv Tez Vav, the Shulchan Aruch says, Dovrish and Espashel called Sarchel. So you have something that was fully cooked. Vu yavesh, and it's dry. She'ein bo marak, it has no liquid. Mutr lahanicho kineged amadura, you could put it near the fire. Afilu makam she'yatzel adispo, even in a place that's yatzel adispo. It's not on the fire, it's near the fire. Even in a place that's yatzel adispo. And the Mishra over there says, nakat neged amadura velo eitzel amadura lahoros she'tzarech laharchik tzas min amadura. You have to keep it at some distance from the flame. Mishmur explains, if you're not putting it on the fire, you're not putting it on the heat source, you're putting it near the heat source and the residual heat is just like catching it, so you're not going to be concerned that Shem Yichta, that you're going to come to stoke the fire, because there's such a clear hecker that you're not allowed near that fire. Because you're dafka putting the food, that's not a normal way to warm up food, you're dafka putting the food far away from that fire.
What about the opposite?
that you would want it a little bit more so that you can get it hot enough to actually warm up the food. But I guess because it's such an unusual way to warm up food, like you realize this is a Shabbos Dikah Inyan, that you're doing something that's special for Shabbos. So that is a potential heter, but not the most practical heter. Because you don't have too many fires that are warming up the area. Our kitchens are dafka made in a way where all of the appliances are meant to warm up, all of the heat emitting appliances are meant to warm up what's on them, and they dafka try their best not to have the heat spread all over the place, obviously with varying degrees of success. Often on a Friday afternoon when someone's cooking for Shabbos, if your mother's cooking for Shabbos, it's the hottest room in the house, right? Because you know, when you have an oven on 450 degrees and three burners on a stovetop, it's obviously going to be a lot hotter. But nevertheless, it's not a practical way normally of warming up food by doing samuch. But that is heter number two.
If the food is fully cooked, why is it a shemi nechatech? Will it be more messy than bashar?
Yeah, so in general, by Chazara, we assume, Rav Shachter assumes, like the Rav Rishonim, that the concern is Shem Yechati, you want it to warm up more quickly.
Even if it's fully cooked?
Even if it's fully cooked, yeah, even if it's Bushul Kol Tzarka. I hear what you're saying, but yeah. The third heter, and this is one that is used, Kedera al Gabi Kedera. Where does this come from? The Ran quotes from the Rashba. The Ran in the back of the Gemara quotes from the Rashba. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef. And it's on New Testament Al Badabi Arif, if you want to take a look. We're not going to read too many things inside right now because time pressure. But the Ran, New Testament Al Badabi Arif, at the end of Dibra Maskul Tanra Rabban and Mevi, says, Gabe Hadu Tanra Rabban and Mevi Adam Kiton Shalmayim Aminichu Knegra Madura. The Ran quotes from the Rashba, Shemutru Losseis Al Pi Kederas Chamin Bishabis. If you have a pot of hot food, you can put another pot on top of that pot of hot food on Shabbos, if it's a tavshil shen special mayor of Shabbos called tzarcho, provided that the food you're putting on top of that pot has already been cooked on erev Shabbos called tzarcho, like pnadish ukayotzibem lechamimon kugel. I'm guessing, right, that you would put on to warm it up. What, you know, pnadish is what? Shepherd's pie? Okay. V'yafal pisha yatzol edesbo. And even though it's yatzol edesbo, why? Ein derech bishul b'kach. It's not normal. V'yafal pisha gedere nesun aleish. And that's even if the bottom pot is mamish on the fire. Without anything. It's on the fire. But you're putting something on top of the pot that's on the fire.
I vaguely remember, I don't remember where it was, but we said earlier that the bottom thing could become considered ish itself if the top thing is cold. Based on the Tetagva, and we said that the bottom kedair, I think it was like a Kiddush, I remember we said it, that the bottom kedair becomes like a fire when you put a coke in a pot.
Not in as far as.
That with the ladle. You leave the ladle in the soup long enough.
Oh, that makes sense.
Probably more of a liquid than a salad, also. A liquid will be more susceptible to becoming like the ish itself.
But either way, it's mutter. I mean, either way, if there's a food cooking in the bottom pot, you're allowed to put a pot on top of that. Where is this most practical? Where would you do this in your kitchen? On top of the crock pot. People do that all the time. On top of the chowmin pot, right? They'll put something. Or you could even do, if your urn is not such a great one, like you have the old fashioned, you know, that get hot at the top. They try not to make them that way so that people don't burn themselves. But you can put something on top of it, or I'll pee, which means you could even take the cap off, the lid off, and put it over the lid of the urn. If you have one of those round pans, right, just fits right over the lid of the urn. So the inside of the urn is the bottom pot. This is your top pot. That is Kedera al Gabi Kedera. That no one argues on. That works. You can put it straight from the fridge on top of a pot of hot water, because Ein Derech Mishal Bekach Shulchan Aruch Reishon and Gimel Sif Hey Paskins this way. So there are two things that need to be discussed over here. Number one is, let's say a question.
Would this, the same thing be true, say, where, like, does that have to be a kadir that's like cooking something in, or can you have, like, say, a hot pot and take the pot and flip it over and put something in?
So that's number one. That's issue number one. Does the bottom pot have to be cooking food? Or can you just take an empty pan, take a 9x13 pan, flip it over, or a cookie sheet, even better, right? You know what a cookie sheet is, right? And they're so thin, and flip it over, and then just put things on top of the cookie sheet, right? Would we say that? Ad kidei kach? Do we go that far? So that's issue number one. Second issue we have to deal with is there is a contraption called, I think it's called the kedera blech, where someone came up with this great idea, where they have, like, it looks like a regular blech, except it's a little thicker, it's like an inch thick. You fill the whole thing with water, it has, like, the inside gets filled with water. And now it's not a blech anymore. Now what is it? It's a gedera. So, and you put it over your stovetop, and then you could just put food on it without any problem whatsoever. Right? So that is the gedera blech. It had certain hashkachas on it, and then there was a big push against it, and we'll have to discuss whether it's viable or not. It sounds good, right? If halach is, you just need something in a pot. So it sounds good. So let's discuss both of these issues. Yeah.
I found it was the Rambam. I remember it says at the end of Dalet Vav.
Dalet Vav?
Yeah.
Menichin,
the last line.
Olei menichin kli sheyesh bo dachtsonin al gabi kli cham b'shabes, shayin molid bo chom b'shabes. Ve menichin mever v'motu v'in k'tom v'in k'tom v'in what's that talking about?
You said earlier in the year it was Kedera Gabi Kedera, but there was some Isser Drabanan you can call.
There was an Isser Drabanan?
But that's what Rabbi Willie used to try to prove that the Rambam doesn't really hold in Bishalach.
Ah.
Right?
But we don't pass them this way. We pass them Shulchanach as Mutter. Totally heterogeneous.
We had said that the explanation of the Rambam, not like Rabbi Willie, says the Rambam really holds Kedera Gabi Kedera as Mutter and in Bishalach, but there's some other Isser Drabanan there.
Right. I don't know what the Yisrael Rabbanan is. Yeah, I don't know. But the halacha, we all rely on this. So does an empty pot work for Kedera al Gabi Kedera? So the Bir Halacha in Reish Nun Gimel Siv Gimel, Dibra Maskul V'Yizoher, asks a stir in the Mechaber. A stir in the Mechaber. In Siv Gimel, the Mechaber implies that a Hefsa Kedera doesn't work when you place on the Kiri L'Chachila because you need Odu B'Yada. And you need the rest of Tanai Hachzara. I mean, I guess he's quoting that Rambam. Yet in Sifhei, he says, it's even mutter to put what wasn't there, May Erev Shabbos, on the Kira. So it's a Stira. So Prima Gadam answers, no Stira. One is talking about an empty pot. One is talking about a full pot. Meaning, if the bottom pot is empty, not good enough. You can't put a pot of cold food on it. But if the bottom pot is full, then it's fine, then it's good enough. That's how the Prima Gadam. So apparently, Kedera Reikonis, you know, an empty pot is no better than a regular blech. As Rav Shechti used to say, an upside down empty pan is a bent blech, right? Meaning it's a blech that just goes up and down, but it's a blech. That's all it is. It's not a Kedera. What makes something a Kedera is the fact that it has food in it. However, not everyone agrees with that. Rabbi Ribiat writes in a footnote, Kanireh sheminag olam lahakel bazeh. And he says, I think that even according to the Prima Gadam, you can have a heter of Hefsa Kedera even when it's a Kedera Reikonis. Aye, but they said you can't. So says Rabbi Ribiat, Umasha kasu l'chalek bin Reikonis l'kedera sheyesh batavshil Hainu rak b'chi agavna demari b'siv gimel sh'ra'a sh'hikdiach tavshilo v'tzarech ha'gedera reikonis listom esachom hakira la'asos ha'kedim grufa k'tuma. That was only talking about in a case where you see that your tavshil is getting burnt and you need an empty pot in order to dull the fire, dull the heat a little bit. Then it's like a blech. Then you're using it like a blech. If you're using it like a blech, because what's the point of blech, proof of tumas, to sort of bring down the heat of the fire a little bit. So if you're using the Kedera Reikonis like a blech, then it's a blech. But if you're not using it to dull the heat, you're using it not to be machlish the chom, but it's a heker to show that I'm not doing normal over here. I'm cooking in a very abnormal, I'm heating this food in a very abnormal way. Then it works. If you're doing it in an abnormal way, because that's the whole point of Kedera al-Gabi Kedera. So says Rabbi Riviat, in the English, that it's mutter. Then in Hebrew, he explains why he thinks it's mutter. Wow. What gave Rabbi Riviat the confidence to go against the pashtus of the Prima Gadam and the Bir Halacha and to say that it's mutter? Rav Shlomo Zalman is making it. From Zalman's Mekel and Kedera Reikonis. This became a major issue. It's a major Shalom Bayis issue. Because in an ideal world, everyone learns from the same Rebbeim in the same places. But there are some very from KBY, YU type of guys that learned from Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Willig, who were Talmidim Rabbi Soloveitchik, and always heard that a Kedera Reikonis is a bent blech, right? But they marry some very firm girls who went to Mechlala And they were always taught, like Rosh Hashanah and Arba, that Gedera Rekanis is great. Nothing wrong with Gedera Rekanis. Oh no, now what do you do? Right? What's going to be with the Shalom Bayis? So the answer is not just be an Amaretz, don't know anything, and you know you should know something, right? So where this comes in helpful is the next topic. We didn't get to the Kedera Bach, but we'll come back to it. A hot plate. What about an unadjustable hot plate, the plata? So Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe, in that tshuva, right, the Rabbi Eider tshuva, Oslamed Hey, he was asked about warming food on a hot plate on Shabbos, and Rav Moshe says one of the most debated lines in all of Igros Moshe, because no one knows what he meant. Here's what he writes. Al plata chashmalit, we know what that means, electric hot plate. Im e efshalis bashal sham. If it is not possible to cook there, oz mutar la'amid kedei rechama imein shem el midachas. Then you could put a pot on it to heat it up, even if it has only one temperature setting. What are the keywords that are impossible, that are difficult for us to understand? E efshal l'spashal sham. What does that mean? E efshal l'spashal sham. What are the possibilities? No, come on, of course. What is EF shell is basal shell? Doesn't get hot enough to cook is one possibility. And what's hot enough to cook? Yatzoledas? Doesn't get to Yatzoledas? So what good is it? Right? Maybe it's good enough. It'll get warm. Or maybe it means it doesn't get hot enough to be practical to cook on it. You would never cook on something that only gets to 150, let's say. But if it gets to 180, 200, I don't know, maybe you try to fry an egg on something like that. Maybe it's practical to cook on it. Or from a heat perspective, what's the third possibility? Nothing to do with heat, but no one would ever cook on it. No one would ever cook on it. And when Moshe writes, it only has one setting, that's the raya that no one would ever cook on it. No one cooks on things that have only one setting. Because part of the cooking process is that you sometimes have to adjust the flame. So what exactly did Rav Moshe mean by that? So that's the million-dollar question. So there are various interpretations, like we said. Rabbi Belsky thought it means that the hot plate doesn't get to 180. That if the hot plate does not get as hot as 180, that's what Rav Moshe meant. If it has does not get to 180 and it has no adjustable settings, it's fine for fully dry cooked food on Shabbos. Rabbi Willig disagrees. Nesina l'chadchila. We'll get to why Nesina l'chadchila. Because if you assume that the isra of Nesina l'chadchila is because of shemichata, well, there's nothing to shemichata. It doesn't get hot enough. Now, if you assume it's mechzikim mevashel, so then that's what we're bavarding over here, right? Then mechzikim mevashel, it's not going to be mechzikim mevashel. No one could ever cook on it. This is not a cooking implement. It's something that people use to warm, not to cook. So Belsky holds, you could use a hot plate for Nesina L'Chadchila if it doesn't have an adjustable knob at all, not just that you cover over the knob, doesn't have an adjustable knob at all, and it doesn't get to 180 degrees. Rabbi Willig disagrees. Rabbi Willig holds, nobody nowadays cooks on a hot plate, and therefore it's not Mechzi K'mevashel, even if it's way hotter. And this is very relevant because the most popular hot plate that people have in their kitchens is the one that's made in Israel that gets very, very hot. Way more than 180 degrees. Gets very, very hot. Now, what about if you have a hot plate that's adjustable? And you just cover the knob. Right? And you cover it with thick foil. With that, so again, Mexican fashion, if you hold that rubber, you're like, you're good. People don't cook on hot plates. Right? In America, it's not normal to cook on a hot plate. So, and if you hold like Rabbi Belsky, if it doesn't get over 180, it's not shy to cook on it, even if it has an adjustable knob. As far as Mexican vashel, it should be okay. But does covering the knob help as far as Shema Yechta B'Gachal? So, what did we say before? That covering the knob and putting the foil on, covering the fire, works to take care of what concern? Zara. Will it work for Nesina L'Chadchila also? Well, it depends. If Yod Nesina L'Chadchila has an elevated concern of Shem Yechad B'Kachalim, then maybe covering the knob doesn't work. You need something. You need it to be something that's not shayach. That's not shayach to ever change. And when I emailed Rabbi Gersten from the OU yesterday, so I needed to get straight what the OU policies are, what Rabbi Belsky's policies are, what Rabbi Schechter's policies are, Rabbi Gersten responded, covering the knob only serves as a hecker, like Grufa Ketuma. Grufa Ketuma only suffices together with the other conditions of Chazara. If we were discussing taking from the fridge to warm on Shabbos, this is not enough. We are afraid he will be michta, even though it is covered. Only if it's not possible to be michta is there no concern. That's what you're right. Meaning, what's the OU policy? What's he assuming? Rabbi Gerson is the one that writes up the OU policies. He's, Rabbi Shachter, Rabbi Belsky, the postman of the OU. Rabbi Gerson is the one that, like, coordinates everything. And he's a huge Talmud Chacham. He knows everything. Young guy, younger than me, I think. I think I'm so young, but, he's a young guy. And just an enormous Talmud Chacham. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. So he's telling us that if it has any sort of adjustable, right, if it has any sort of something that could adjust, it's not enough to cover it because you have an elevated sense of Shem Yichata. So one second, so just a second. So the non-adjustable hot plates that get really, 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 really hot. So Rabbi Schechter thought if it gets really, really hot, it doesn't matter. You can get as hot as you want it to get. Because it's not normal to cook on it. Like Rabbi Willick said, so people don't cook on such things. So let's go. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Shmir Shabbos, both assume that if it gets really, really hot, like Rabbi Belsky, that if it gets really, really hot, that's a problem. It's a problem if it gets really hot. We've now made Shalom Bayis. How did we make Shalom Bayis? You have your from YU guy who's a Talmud Rabbi Schechter, the Talmud Rabbi Willig, and who would never, the upside down pan, come on, that's a joke, that's a bent blech. But what does he allow? The non-adjustable hot plate, no matter how hot it gets. You have the from Michlala girl who learned all the Shittas of Shom Zalman and the Shmir Shabbos or whatever. So she'll say, the hot plate, oy vey, you can't use the hot plate, it's too hot. You're not allowed to use such a thing. Oh, but you know how to be matter everything, even in Eish Mamish? Just an upside down pan. Shalom bayis, right? Everyone has something they could be happy with. So that's why you'll see in many homes, I don't know if that's why, but you will see in many homes, they would never put an upside down pan on the blech, because the blech is actual fire, that's actual Eish, but they'll put an upside down pan on the hot plate. Now, if you see someone that warms up with upside down pans on the black, are they doing something wrong? No, they're holding like a particular shita, which was held by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So that's okay. It's just not something that, Talmidim Rav Gulagir Meshachter, Talmidim Rav Salvechik would ever be comfortable with, based on the Bir Alach, based on the Prima God.
Why do you need the black?
You don't need the black, it just makes it easier. Like, to put it like a Nanga 13 pan over an open flame would make people uneasy, I think. It'll probably like burn right through. What about a warming box or a warming drawer in a regular kitchen? In the OU, they're always talking about a warming box, right? Because that's what the caterer uses. He has this giant thing, and you stick it. So, what's the OU policy going to be about a warming box? What do you think? So, according to Tosfos, the Yisro of Chazara is Shema Yichata, right? Rav Schechter holds that's 100% correct. That's the Yisro of Chazara. He similarly assumes that that's the Yisur of Nesina L'Chadchila. But it's an elevated Shem Yechata. It's a very high level Shem Yechata. So, if it has no temperature dials whatsoever, it only has one setting, on, off, right? A very primitive warming box. Then, what would you say? No concern of Shem Yechata. And I don't have to think about Nechsi Kimavashal if I'm Rav Schechter. Schechter thinks the whole thing is not a non-issue.
Why isn't there an issue with Hatmana?
We'll get to. It's not Hatmana, but we'll get to why it's not Hatmana. It's a different issue. So, it would be permitted if you put the food, even to put the food in and not on top. According to Rashi and the Ran, you can't warm in such an oven because it could reach normal cooking temperature and there's a Mechzikim Avasha. So, well, I shouldn't say that. According to Rashi and the Ran, it would be a Machlokas contemporary poskim. Rabbi Belsky would say, if it gets to 180, Mechzikim Avasha, and I'm worried about Mechzikim Avasha because Mishmura quotes Mechzikim Avasha as a thing. So I'm worried about Mechzikim Avasha. whereas Rabbi Willig would say, what's the name of the kli? It's called a warmer, a warming box, a warming drawer, meaning the ein, not mechsi kemevashel, gadol mizeh. Right? The greatest way to make something not mechsi kemevashel is when you use something that never cooks. So you don't cook in a warmer. Wow. So that's when it comes to a warmer. So now let's think about the warming drawer for a moment. Who's going to allow it? So a typical warming drawer, how many of you have warming drawers in your kitchen? Okay. Are you familiar with how it works? You ever turn it on yourself?
Yeah.
Most of them nowadays are not just on-off. When they first started making them, they were on-off. Most of them have multiple settings now. Medium, high, low, or sometimes even like, you know, five little dots or red light, you know? So what would you say? Based on everything we know. Let's start with this. Let's say you're a Mexican Mevashel person. Yeah, let's start without that. Let's say you're a Rav Shechter person. You're only Shem Yechater. That's your only concern, Shem Yechater. Right? Oh, maybe it's a problem because covering the knobs maybe isn't enough. When there's an elevated Shem Yechater, there's Nesina L'Chachila. It's an elevated Shem Yechater. So that, for that reason, Rav Shechter holds not to use warming drawers on Shabbos. Because if there are multiple settings. Elevated Shem Yechater. Yeah?
But what if you're already on the highest setting?
Ah, so they asked Rav Moshe this question. I asked Rabbi Gerson that question yesterday, a similar question. He sent me back a tshuva from Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe said, we're worried about that too. Because A, it's a low plug, and B, sometimes you lower it just to higher it after, you know, to raise it afterwards. Meaning as you're cooking, you lower, you raise, you lower. So even if it's on its highest setting, he thought that Rabbi Shechter thought it would be awesome. So, wow. So warm drawer, according to Rabbi Shechter, is going to be awesome. Now, according to Rabbi Belsky, Hefsa Kedera means Kedera Gabi Kedera. Well, meaning if you have something in there from before Shabbos to just put another one on top, yeah, that would probably be a problem because that is the derech of warming in a warming drawer. It's not, would not be a hacker. That would not help. I would imagine that would not help. That's a good question, but I would imagine that would not help. Right, Belsky says, even if there's no way to change the temperature, Mexican Vashel, if it gets to 180. Do warming drawers get to 180?
Yeah.
At the hottest temperature, yeah. I don't know. Our warming drawer, my wife turns it to its highest temperature. Left it for now. Put her hand down flat on it, you know, and no problem whatsoever. I didn't try. I was afraid to try, but she said, "Come on, this isn't Yatzaledas." So I mean, that's not how we measure Yatzaledas. So it may depend on the make and model. It may depend on the warming drawer. My question to Rabbi Gersten yesterday was similar to Avi's question, but it was a little different. It was, what if the warm drawer has three settings and only the highest one is above Yatzaledes? Meaning, it's non-adjustable in the above Yatzaledes range. And everything below Yatzaledes is totally motor, right? You're allowed to put something below Yatzaledes, not Shaila, right? If you keep your warming drawer on low and that's not Yatzaledes, you're allowed to put stuff in. You could put stuff anywhere on something that's below Yatzaledes. Right, so that you know we discussed yesterday putting in the oven if it's below Yatzaledes. Most ovens don't have a temperature that's below Yatzaledes, like it won't turn on. If you type in, you know, 85 degrees on your oven start, it will just say, "Are you kidding me?" Like, you know, like move to a warm climate. Like it's not going to do it. So it will only turn, like the lowest it gets is like 200. Most ovens, but what if you have that light in the oven where it can actually just give a little bit of warmth, just the light, you know, the warmth that the light gives. So maybe that's, you know, that Rabbi Shach said, reminded him of Rabbi Heinemann's shita with Bishul Akum. Rabbi Heinemann had a shita that if the light the light of the oven is turned on by a Jew, then the guy could do the rest. Because it's like being Hashlachas Kisei, it's like the Jew participating in the cooking, because he added some heat. Every light bulb gives a little bit of heat. So in the OU, they make fun of that. They do not like, not everyone's nice, no one makes fun of anything, but like behind closed doors. I mean, they're not, you know, huge fans of that psak of Rabbi Heinemann. Because it's nothing. What's a light bulb? And Mishnah Shabbos also, it's nothing if it's below Yatzeledes. So that was my kasha. Maybe if it's below Yatzeledes, every temperature, every setting is below Yatzeledes, except for the highest, maybe then there's no Shem Yechata.
People, like, the fact that there exists two temperature settings below that show that it's normal to go back up and down.
Enochinami, but the Gzeir of Shem Yechata is within the above Yatzeledes rate.
Meaning, if you have it set to the one temperature above Yatzeledes, right, and there exists a way to
adjust it. Okay, right. So that's what Rabbi Gerson thought also. I'm not 100% convinced, but that's what Rabbi Gerson thought also. We can ask Rabbi Willick today, but I'm pretty sure Rabbi Willick holds warming. When I asked him years ago, and I think he writes this in the Sefer, I didn't find it, I was looking for it, I didn't find it, that warming drawers are mutter, provided that you do a full blech on the warming drawer, meaning that he holds it is a problem of Mexican Vashel, even though Rabbi Willig is loyal to the Mishnah Brura very, very often, and he tries to be Yotzei for Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura does say Mexican Vashel. He says, come on, it's a warmer. There's no Mexican Vashel. So, I mean, it's called a warmer. No one ever cooks in a warming drawer. So you take Mexican Vashel off the table. Shem Yechata. So Rabbi Willig says, we have a way of solving that. A blach is the way we solve that. Apparently he holds that, what do we say? There were two reasons why Nesim Lechachila on an Eish that's Garuf HaKatun is going to be a problem, right? Whereas Hachzara on an Eish that's Garuf HaKatun is not a problem. Two reasons. One reason was, Shem Yechata is much bigger when it's Nesim Lechachila. Shem Yechata is this bigger concern, not this bigger concern, right? What was the other reason? Hachzara was only a concern of Shem Yechata, but Nesim Lechachil is a concern of Mexican Vasha. Oh, good. I've taken care of Mexican Vasha because it is a warming drawer. And therefore, I take care of Mexican Vasha. But Shem Yechat is still there. Not if you cover it. Shem Yechat can be solved the same way you could solve Rachzar. Put a blech on it, cover it, line the whole thing with foil, cover the control knob, and then you're fine. Rabbi Willick held, though, that because when the drawer is closed, you don't see the foil, so it doesn't serve as a proper hecker. You have to make sure that you're able to see the foil even when the drawer is closed. That's what Rabbi Willick holds, I think. We'll ask him. You can ask him today to confirm. But maybe I won't. but that's what I remember Rabbi Willick said. So and he even said, I remember in our old oven, before we got a new one, our old oven, the warming drawer was down there, but the controls of it were all the way up here. So he said, since Shem Yechata is up here, you need the hecker up here. So I said, yeah, so you'll cover the controls. He said, no, that's Rav Aaron Cutler. We hold you cover the fire. But at the same time, the covering of the fire needs to be nicker when you would change it. You need to see the covering of the fire when you would change it. How do you do that? So he said you should run a piece of foil from the warming drawer all the way up to the controls and have it reach and cover the controls. So my wife did not go for that. She did not agree. She does not pass in that way. So Piskei HaRebetzin, you can kill bugs on Shabbos and you're going to... No. So she did not like that at all. She didn't think that was a workable solution. So now we have a new warming drawer where the controls are actually inside. So the only way that they would be able to adjust the controls is by opening it up and seeing the... So you probably don't... We still have foil sticking out of it because, you know, the minhag hayashan, you know, we still have... But it's probably not even necessary because only when you're adjusting it you need to see it.
Presumably, Rabbi Willick hold the same by an adjustable hot plate.
By an adjustable hot plate, probably. Yeah, I think so.
Is it the only way to have a shita that lets you do it on Shabbos?
Is the whole day Rabbi Willick, yeah.
Right. Or it's not above 180.
Or it's not above 180. Right. It can't get above 180. Meaning,
right, yeah.
Right, if you have one that the highest setting doesn't get to 180, I'm sure you can go online and find out your model, make a model of a warming drawer or whatever, and see what its highest temperature is. But if it can't get above 180, then you have Rabbi Belsky to rely on. And if And if it can, but it's a warmer, then you have Rabbi Willig, provided that you obviously make a blech on the whole thing. The problem with the warmers that the caterers use is that you can't make a blech on it. Right? Meaning, because these are these giant boxes, how are they going to make a blech over the fire? They can cover the knob, but to cover the actual, it's like an urn. You know, a hot water urn. You can't, if there's not a hot water urn, I've seen these that have like adjustable temperature settings. So you can't really blech it. You can't cover the heating element. You can only cover the controls. So that's an issue.
On the warming drum, you also have to cover the sides, or just you're putting food on the
side. So I think the heat doesn't actually emanate from the sides. I think it's just because it's in such a close. I mean, maybe it depends on what you have. But I think it's just because it's such a closed, contained area that the heat just stays really well. So probably what we do, we actually cover the sides just in case, but no, I'm not sure. It probably depends on where the heat's coming.
Would a grate on the bottom be enough of a blech, or the whole thing must be covered?
A grate on the bottom?
We have in our warmer drawer like a tray, sort of like on the covering the part of the
like room. A grate with like lines or a flat tray.
No, grate with like lines.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's probably normal, though.
I don't know. Is it? No, I don't know. I've never seen. I don't know.
Do warming drawers have the same problem as ovens that when you open it, cold air gets in?
Okay. So warming drawers sometimes have the opposite problem. Not that cold air gets in and that it goes up, because the difference in temperature between the room and the warming drawer is usually not that great. Meaning on an oven, you know, why is it that many posts above you are allowed to open a fridge? Because 70 degrees in the room, it's whatever, 40 degrees in the fridge. Right, something like that, 35 degrees in the fridge. So the difference is not going to be like immediate, like, oh, that air is coming in, right away the motor's going to turn on. In an oven, it's set at 350. The difference between 350 and the room temperature is a huge difference. As soon as you open it up, the fire's going to open. Warming drawer, the difference is not that much. But many of them have a safety mechanism, and the Star K warns about this, that when you open it up, it immediately the coils immediately turn off. Because they don't want people hurting themselves. So if you have that, then you have a problem. Then you have a secretion of opening it up. There's a simple way to test it. We've tested it by just keeping it ajar for a while. Keeping it not totally open, but keeping it slightly ajar for a while. And see if it's still hot. It's been plenty hot. Ours is fine. But it's worthwhile testing it before you make any assumptions about that. We said we would stop now, right? So we didn't get to Pina Mimechem Lemechem and Hatmana. All right, we're going to do Hatmana next probably, and then if there's time, we'll go back to Pina Mimechem Lemechem.